an Osho talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 19.
Present awareness and comparative awareness. Yan Tao said, in the future, if you want to propagate the great teaching, it must flow out point by point from within your own breast to cover heaven and earth. Only then will it be the action of a man of power. That which flows out from one's own breast, as he calls it, is one's own beginningless present awareness, fundamentally complete of itself. As soon as you arouse a second thought, you fall into thinking. Awareness is something from before your parents were born. This affair is not a matter of intelligence or acuity. Actually, it's just an abrupt bursting out. That's the criterion. As soon as you've attained this scene, then whatever words you have, they're established. When where they're established is real, this is the so-called flowing out from within one's own breast to cover heaven and earth.
Truth can never be a missionary. But only a heart-to-heart message. Not to convert the other, but just to share your abundance of love, compassion, blissfulness. This has to be remembered, that a missionary is one of the most ugliest persons in the world. He himself knows nothing. His heart is empty. But his head is full. He has read, he has studied, but all the words which are written, howsoever significant, are dead corpses. The scholar is a grave digger. He brings out a skeleton. And he lives amongst skeletons. And there is a psychological problem that the man who has not known the truth wants to convince himself that he knows it. And the only way to convince himself that he knows it is to start converting people. It is a feedback system. As more and more people become impressed by his words, by his philosophy, the ultimate outcome is that he becomes convinced that he must be having the truth, otherwise so many people are not idiots. I have heard once it happened. It very rarely happens, once in a billion years, that a journalist reached to the gate of heaven. A journalist by the profession is already booked for the hell. But there are always accidents. A journalist knocked on the doors of heaven and Saint Peter opened the door. But seeing the journalist, he said, "Forgive me. Our quota has been full since eternity. We have only a quota of 12 journalists. Even they are absolutely useless here, because nothing happens in heaven. No murder, no rape, no robbing, no suicide. So only the first issue was published, and that remains relevant forever, because good people don't have stories. To have stories, you need bad people. It is unfortunate, but it is how it is. The saints go on sitting in silence. Now, silence is not a news. Unless there is a riot, massacre, war, nuclear weapons, Ronald Reagan, there is no news. Bernard Shaw has defined news as when a dog bites a man, it is not news. But when a man bites the dog, it is news. All politicians are news. They are men biting the dog. But in heaven, there is no place for politicians. So forgive me, you will have to go to the other door. The other door is just in front of heaven. There are only two places. Not much alternatives to choose. But you know, journalists are very stubborn people. He insisted that at least give me 24 hours time just to see around. And after 24 hours, if you have some place vacant, you can allow me to remain, otherwise I will be gone. It was not asking too much. Saint Peter said, for 24 hours you can be in heaven. And immediately he started a rumor that in hell a new great daily newspaper is going to start. They need chief editor, they need editorial board, they need assistant editors, they need all kinds of journalists. Rumor for the journalist is just like water is for fish. He lives in rumors, in lies, in all kinds of things which are not in any way true, but have a quality of sensationalism. There was great commotion, particularly in the 12 journalists. They were tired of heaven. They were tired of dead saints. Saints can't have any life. All the religions have condemned life. To be a saint, you have to cut your roots from the earth. You have to become a dry bone with no juice in you. The deadlier you are, the greater a saint. Any small fragment of life is enough for your fall. Amongst those dead people, those 12 journalists were roaming around for centuries. But you cannot get any news. Nothing is happening. When they heard the rumor, they all became so excited. After 24 hours, when our journalist reached the gate, Saint Peter did not open the gate and said, "Listen, fellow, now you cannot go out. All the 12 have gone. It seems that in hell they are going to start a very big newspaper on a great scale." The man said, "Then I don't want to stay here." Although he knows he has created the rumor, but now the suspicion arises that if so many people believe it, and even Saint Peter believes it, there must be some truth in it. A missionary is in search of converts to be convinced that he has the truth. His search for converts is really a psychological need of the missionary. He is feeling empty and hollow. But if he can manage few people, which is always possible, because there are people who are in need of a father figure. They feel themselves afraid in life, helpless. Life seems to be too big, unmanageable. That's why they have created a father in God in heaven, but it is too far. And no phone connection line is still is available, except to few very cunning people like the Pope, Ayatollah Khomeini, Shankaracharya of India. These people have direct lines, invisible. But for the common person, there is no way to communicate to the God. He needs a more visible, more tangible person who can take place as a father, because very few people in the world grow and mature. They remain children, and they need a father to protect them. It is not coincidental that Catholic priests are called fathers. They don't have wives, they don't have children. I always wonder how they have become fathers. These Catholics are strange people. They believe in Virgin Mary, who gives birth to Jesus Christ without any contact with any human being, and becomes a mother without a father. And there are these millions of Catholic fathers and they don't have wife, they don't have children. Catholicism is really mysterious. But to call them fathers indicates inside you a need for a protective figure. You have been brought up by your father. He was always a protection, a reservoir of knowledge and wisdom. In your eyes, he was the greatest man in the world. And you could relax and depend on him. Now the father may be dead. Physically you have grown older, but psychologically the average man is below 13 years of age. And that child is hankering for protection. Without protection, in this vast universe, unknown, unpredictable, full of all kinds of diseases, sicknesses, and finally death, a man is bound to be deeply afraid. I used to stay in a house and the woman of the house said to me that we have a problem with our child. They did not have an attached toilet to their bedroom. Old-fashioned people, they had outhouses far away from the house at the back, and the child was absolutely insistent that when he goes in the night to the toilet, the mother or father has to follow them, and the doors have to be kept open, and they have to stand there because he feels very much afraid. I said to him, why don't you do one thing? You are harassing your mother and father. A simple solution is possible. He said, I am willing, just tell me, what is the solution? I said, you can carry a lamp with yourself or a torch. He laughed. He says, ha ha. I said, why you are laughing? He said, in the darkness, somehow I can manage to escape from all the ghosts. But with a lamp, they will immediately see me where I am. You are suggesting a great idea, but I will be caught immediately. I cannot follow this idea. Even if I have to go in darkness, I am willing, because in darkness I can dodge them. But with a lamp, they all will be able to see me where I am, and they all will jump on me. A father is needed. A missionary fulfills some psychological sick needs of humanity. He is not interested in giving you the truth. He does not have it in the first place. It is a very mutual conspiracy. You are feeling happy that you have somebody to protect you, a mediator between you and the invisible God. And the missionary is feeling good that so many people believe in his truth. They cannot be wrong. I alone can be wrong, but a multitude of people, the whole congregation of the church, cannot be wrong. I must be having the truth. So this is a mutual, unconscious arrangement. Tahui is saying, something tremendously important, that if you want to give the message to the people about the great truth, the truth of enlightenment, remember one thing, it should not come from your head. It should not be intellectual jargon. You will be so full of it in your heart that it starts overflowing. Then you are not the giver, and you don't have to brag about that you have converted so many people. You are not the converter. It is truth itself who is creating the magic of transformation. You are simply a vehicle. But the first thing for you is to be filled with truth, filled with light, filled with fragrance, so that you can share it. In fact, you have to become a rain cloud, which becomes heavy with rain and wants to shower. You have to become so heavy with your ultimate experience of freedom, of joy, of blissfulness, of truth, that you want to rain just like a rain cloud. This is a very significant message, and it must have come to Tahui as an experience. He was an intellectual, and we are watching a great transformation. An intellectual being transformed slowly, slowly into an enlightened human being. We are watching the birth of a great Buddha, the great awakened one. The first sutra. And Tao said, in the future, if you want to propagate the great teaching, it must flow out from by point from within your own breast to cover heaven and earth. Only then will it be the action of a man of power. And Tao is saying, not only that your heart is full, it will be so full that it starts radiating in all directions. The whole sky becomes filled with your flavor, with your charisma, with your presence. Those who have eyes will see it, and those who have ears will hear it, and those who have hearts will feel it, and those who have beings alert and aware will immediately experience it and be transformed, transmuted into a totally new being. Beyond misery, beyond suffering, beyond agonies, into a world of ecstasy. But you will be so full that the earth and the sky both become filled with your experience, filled with your light, filled with your energy, filled with your radiation. Ein Tao is right. In the future, if you want to propagate, don't become a missionary. It is a human weakness to pretend that you are knowledgeable. It is a subtle way of humiliating people. You know and they don't know. So even if you have got a little understanding only intellectually, you immediately start propagating it. Because it gives you a great nourishment for your ego. You start becoming the knower and everybody else is ignorant. In fact, you are falling into a great ditch. It is better to be ignorant than to be egoist, because ignorance is natural and can be transformed into innocence very easily. But ego is a perversion. It is very difficult for the egoist person to understand anything that demands the demolition of ego. Ego is his only treasure. He knows nothing else except his prestige, respectability, knowledgeability, honor in the world. If you want to propagate, it is not necessarily that you should propagate, because there have been millions of mystics around the world down the ages who have decided not to propagate. And I cannot say that they are absolutely wrong. Almost 99% they are right. They have decided not to propagate because there is no way to explain to you something which you have not experienced. And if you have experienced, there is no need to explain it to you. Their logic is clear. These mystics had been called in the East Arhatas. They attained to the ultimate enlightenment and remain silent. If somebody comes to drink out of their well, he is welcome. But they do not make any effort on their own to reach people. only few people have decided for the 1% possibility. In Buddhism, they are called bodhisattvas. They have decided because it may not be possible to reach to the people's heart. They are so close. They have already chosen. Somebody is a Christian, somebody is a Hindu, somebody is a Mohammedan, somebody is a Buddhist. They have already chosen without knowing anything. Their minds are prejudiced and polluted. And these prejudices are functioning like walls around them. They don't allow anything new to enter in. But perhaps once in a while, you can find a small crack in the wall. And if a person is a seeker, a searcher, open for any truth to encounter, then there is a possibility. If you have the truth, his heart will start immediately beating with your heart. It is a synchronicity. Suddenly he will become aware that the man has come for whom he has been waiting, and waiting for lives together. And it will not be an intellectual conviction because you have not even spoken. It will be a subtle, invisible transfer, a transmission of the lamp. Just the other person has to be open. You cannot force anybody to be open. The more you will try to force, the more closed he will become. It depends absolutely in his own hands to be open and vulnerable, to be available. Just like a womb and give birth to himself into a new space, a new consciousness. The man of truth can only be a triggering point. That's why in Tao says, if you want, if you don't want, the question does not arise. If you want to propagate the great teaching, and why he is calling it great teaching? Why not just teaching? There is a difference made very clear by Gautam Buddha. Teaching is from the mind. It is a philosophy, a theology, a religion, but it is from the mind. And mind is immensely capable of fabricating systems of thought, very logical, very rational. But they are missing the foundation, of experience. The great teaching is that which has arisen out of your experience. Its greatness also is that you don't have to make any effort to propagate it. Its very presence starts ringing bells in the hearts of those who are worthy to receive it, who have earned some kind of meditativeness, who have earned some kind of silences of the heart, whose ground is ready, so the seed of enlightenment can be sown. The teaching is just a rational approach to existence. And the great teaching is an experiential approach to existence. To propagate the great teaching, it must flow out point by point from within your own breast to cover heaven and earth. Only then will it be the action of a man of power. In this small quotation from Anthau, so much is condensed. Scriptures can be made out of the commentary and out of the implications of it. It must flow out. You should not make an effort, because your effort will be destroying its beauty, its purity, your effort means you are not trusting existence and truth, and your hands are very small. Your efforts cannot be great enough to transfer the truth. It has to be a flow, point by point. You have just to be a witness, not an active agent. You have just to see the flow from your heart and rejoice. And if it reaches to few hearts, they become joined in a certain mystical union. That's what An authentic commune is where people are joined by an invisible flow of energy from heart to heart. Then they are separate as individuals and yet deeply connected with each other. Just like a garland of flowers. Each flower is individual, but a thin thread, invisible to the eyes, runs through all of them and makes it a garland. A gathering of disciples has to be a garland, but it is possible only not by any effort, not by any action, but only by an spontaneous flow. And it happens on its own. Just like when the rose bud opens, do you think it makes any effort to spread its fragrance to the winds? It happens spontaneously. It is something absolutely natural. Once your heart has become a rose flower and has opened its buds, then the fragrance starts reaching to all directions. This is the right way of sending messages to those who are worthy of receiving them. And only then will it be the action of a man of power. This has to be understood. Ordinarily, you think a man of power, if he is a president of a country or a prime minister or a great general or a man like Alexander the Great, your idea of power is always power over others. It is inhuman and ugly from the very base. Nobody has the right to have power over anybody else, neither the husband over the wife, nor the parents over their children, nor any politician over the people. Freedom is our most fundamental right. So that kind of power has to disappear from the world. That power has created thousands of wars, and that power has been our undoing. man has not been able to use this time for his evolution, for a better earth, for a more human society, without demarcations of nations, religions, political ideologies. The whole energy goes into such stupidities, killing each other seems to be the main purpose of man's being on the earth. In 3,000 years there have been 5,000 wars. Anybody watching from a planet will think that humanity has gone mad. And there is one great thinker of our age, Arthur Koestler, who thinks exactly that something in the growth of man's mind has gone wrong. Either the nut bolts are too tight, are too loose. Because whole energy is devoted to destruction, what more can be insane? All these energies can make this earth a paradise. But they are making it only a battlefield. This meaning of the power is not the meaning when Antao uses the word power. In the East, we have used the word power not over others, but over yourself. Conquering your own unconquered areas of consciousness, bringing your potential to its total flowering, will make you immensely powerful, not over anybody. Just a source of power on your own akar. The power over others is very important. Just put the president of any country down his chair and all power disappears. What kind of world is this, where chairs are powerful, where chairs are more important than men, where chairs make men powerful, not vice versa? What will be Ronald Reagan without being a president? Just a senile fellow. What is Rudolf Nixon? Who cares whether he is alive or dead? It happened before the Russian Revolution. A man named Kerensky was the Prime Minister of Russia. A great power. While the revolution was happening, he escaped Russia. And people remain concerned what happened to him. Perhaps he has been killed. Because no sign, no footprints could be found where Kerensky has disappeared. He simply disappeared in thin air. It was found in 1960, after almost half a century, after the revolution. He was running a grocery store in New York. Of course, under disguise, he was not telling anybody that he has been one of the most powerful men in the world. It's strange. But the mystics know of a different kind of power. Wherever the mystic sits, that place becomes holy. That place becomes full of power. The mystic's power is not dependent on any votes. It is not dependent on any chair. It is not dependent on any post. The mystic's power is his own. It is not borrowed. Every president and every prime minister are just beggars, begging for votes. I have heard about an American politician who was campaigning for his election. He knocked on a door. And he started kissing every child, and there were at least 20 children with flowing noses. But one has to tolerate everything if you want power. He was feeling very much disgusting, the whole affair, but he was smiling, just the Jimmy Carter smile. Have you heard anything about Jimmy Carter's smile? It has disappeared. I have seen his latest photograph. Only one thing is missing, that is smile. And his smile was ear to ear. But it was not his smile, it was the chair. The chair gone, the smile is gone. The poor politician kissed all the children, and the woman who was standing there asked her that, "You have beautiful children. I have come to tell you that your vote should go to me." He gave his card. The woman laughed. She said, "I will think over it. But these are not all my children. I am just a caretaker. Because all the women of the neighborhood are having a meeting, they have left their children here. I am just looking after them." He said, "My God, why did not you say it before? Now I feel even nauseous. These dirty children with flowing noses, and I had been kissing, and their mucus was coming on my face. But one has to tolerate. These beggars become great, powerful. Once they are on the post, but their power is very ugly, inhuman and brutal. The power of a mystic has a totally different quality and a different dimension. His power is not dependent on anybody else. His power is not the power of a beggar. His power is the power of an emperor. His power arises within his own being. He becomes a radiant star. All mystics are men of great power. To be in contact with them is enough to be thrilled. To be thrilled about the unknown possibilities of your own being. Just to be in the presence of a man of truth is enough. No argument is needed to convince you. His presence is the argument, and his power is the convincing force. One great Christian missionary, Stanley Jones, used to stay with me whenever he was passing the place where I was living. He has written beautiful books. He used to give beautiful sermons. Once I asked him, that you spoke so beautifully. You were using the same words as Jesus. But I don't see the power behind them. They are just old gramophone records. The words are the same, but the man behind the words is not the same. You try every effort to make your message emphatic, but you don't have the power. He was a very sincere man. And he said, perhaps you are right. I said, not perhaps. I am right. Because if you had that power which Jesus had, you would have been already crucified. And it is hilarious that you are hanging around your neck a golden cross. Jesus was not hanging around his neck a golden cross. His neck was hanging on a wooden cross so heavy that he was only 33 years old and a son of a carpenter who was accustomed to carry big logs from the forest to his father's workshop. He fell 3 times. The weight of the cross was so much. Whom you are trying to deceive. Your neck has to be on the cross, not the cross dangling, a small cross that cannot kill even a mouse. That was the crime of Jesus, that the whole land of the Jews was full of great scholars, intellectuals, great rabbis, and this single man offended them all. And he was not speaking against them. He has not said a single word against any of them. But just his presence and his powerful individuality was enough to reduce them into pygmies. And all the pygmies joined together to destroy this man. Pygmies are in majority in the world. And the pygmies have been doing the same down the ages. Socrates they poisoned because he was a giant. Even today, his arguments are so fresh as this morning's roses blossoming in the sun and dancing in the air. They murdered Al-Hillaz Mansur although what he was saying will remain eternally true, he has only declared a simple fact that I am God. And you are also God. I know it, you don't know it. Any moment you can recognize it. But the pygmies are feeling very comfortable and cozy in being pygmies. They don't want to take the risk of becoming giants because they have seen what happens to giants: cross, poison, murder. They freak out with these ideas. It is better to be a Christian, every Sunday 1 hour religion. It is better to be a Hindu. It is better to be a Mohammedan. Just belong to a crowd because you don't have power. A man of power stands alone like a lion roaring. He does not need to mix with a crowd. That which flows out from one's own breast, as he calls it, is one's own beginningless present awareness. What starts flowing? The moment you become aware of your awareness, which is beginningless and endless, which is eternity. As you become aware of your eternal sources of consciousness, inexhaustible, suddenly the flow comes to you without any effort. You are not a missionary. Your very being is the mission. You are not trying to convince anybody by your argument. Your very being is the answer, self-evident, needs no proof, no argument. Fundamentally complete of itself. The enlightened being, the awakened soul, is complete of itself. It is not in need of anything from anywhere. This gives the awakened person the possibility to be absolutely free of all bondages, of all chains, of all handcuffs. You can put him in a jail, but you cannot enslave his consciousness. And now he no more identifies himself with the body. He has found his real identity. To identify with the body is to carry a false passport. But Tahui wants you to be aware not to allow a second thought to arise. What is the second thought? When you first feel yourself in deep meditation, you say, aha, this is it, and you have missed. This sentence you have to remember not to use at any point. Because the moment you say, this is it, your mind has come in. And mind is the most corrupting force, more poisonous than any cobra. It simply spoils the silence and the meditativeness. And there is a tendency in every mind that it will try it. One has to be very aware not to give rise to a second thought. Just be alert, just be aware, just be conscious, just be meditative. But there is no need to reflect about it or to make a statement about it. Or even within yourself to say, that I have arrived. As soon as you arouse a second thought, you fall into thinking. Awareness is something from before your parents were born. Jesus was asked that, who do you think you are? You are just a young man, and the land of Judea has old, learned rabbis who had devoted their whole life in looking into the scriptures. Who do you think you are? You don't even have any education. You can't read, you can't write. And you are too young to be wise. And the answer of Jesus is one of the tremendous answers which have ever been given. He said, I have been before Abraham was. Abraham is the oldest name in the genealogy of the Jews. I was before Abraham was. This is a statement of power and self-realization. He is saying, I am beginningless. Don't look at my body. It may be young, but I am eternal. This affair is not a matter of intelligence or
equity. Actually, it is just an abrupt bursting out that is the criterion. Ta Hui has come a long way. In the beginning, when he was just an intellectual, he was laughing at the sudden enlightenment. How can enlightenment be sudden? In existence, everything is gradual. A tree grows gradually. A man grows gradually. It is not that suddenly there was nothing and a rose bush appears complete with the flowers and the fragrance. Existence does not believe in suddenness. It is a gradual process. Intellectually, it seems to be perfectly right. But now he is saying that this is the criterion whether your enlightenment is true or not. It is just an abrupt bursting. That is the criterion. A sudden illumination, just like a lightning. Now he is speaking something from his own experience. Because as far as mind is concerned, it can observe all around, everything grows gradually. Why this should be the exception, that enlightenment is sudden? The reason is clear. Because enlightenment is not something that is growing in you. It is something which is already complete, just waiting. It has been complete forever from the very beginning. You have just to look at it. A 180-degree turn. And you will not find a small plant of enlightenment growing slowly, leaf by leaf, branch by branch. No, you will see the whole complete illumination. Because it is your nature, because it is already there, because it has been there forever, just you were not looking at it. You were standing with your back towards it. And it cannot grow. It is complete. It is entire. It is as it should be. The only new thing that is going to happen is not to enlightenment, but to you. You were not aware of it. Now you have seen it. Now you are aware of it. And this awareness of you is also sudden. You cannot see enlightenment of your being gradually, piece by piece. One day you see a little enlightenment, then another day you say a little more, and so on it goes. Once you have seen just a little part of it, you will be pulled completely inwards to recognize its totality. It is very easy as far as awakening is concerned to know when the man is only talking intellectually or is talking existentially. Now Tahui is talking existentially. It has not been only a great pilgrimage for him, it has been also a great pilgrimage for you all, seeing how intellect is capable in turning into enlightenment. How an ordinary mind can change into no mind. How a mortal can become immortal. It is your story. Tahui is coming to the very end of his pilgrimage. You may be far away from the destination, but Tahui's progress will give you tremendous encouragement. However far you are, he was also very far away. And if he can manage, there is no reason why you cannot manage. As soon as you are attained, this scene, just look at the words, how they change. The intellectual cannot say this. It is just out of his possibilities. He can talk about concepts, he can talk about hypotheses, he can talk about ideologies. But Tahui is saying, as soon as you have attained this scene, it is only a scene. It has already been there, just you are not seeing it. And now you have opened your eyes and seen it. I have heard about a small child. Who saw the Catholic priest coming by, and he ran to him and said, "Father, my dog has given birth to 6 small kids. And why I am so excited? Because they are all Catholics. The father said, that's very good. After 3 weeks, the father was coming and he saw the boy sitting on his steps crying. He said, what happened? What happened to your 6 Catholics? He said, that is why I am crying. Their eyes are now open. They are no more Catholics. To be a Catholic or to be a Hindu or to be a Mohammedan, you need your eyes to be closed. But to be enlightened, you need your eyes to be open. It is a scene, the most beautiful scene that you can ever see or can conceive. As soon as you have attained this scene, then whatever words you have, they are established. Out of an awakened consciousness, each word is on fire. Each word is alive. Each word is established. It does not need any support of scriptures. And it does not need any support of anybody else in the world. It is its own authority. That is the meaning of its being established. When, where they are established is real, this is the so-called flowing out from within one's own breast to cover heaven and earth. When you are established in truth, you will fill the whole cosmos with your truth, with your ecstasy, with your fragrance. And wherever people are who are sensitive, will start searching for the man who has attained to the power and whose words have become established. Now here you are, almost from every country of the world. Every government is against me. Every government is trying to prevent people reach here. The government of India is trying to prevent journalists, scholars, professors, all kinds of other news media to reach here. They are asking every tourist, for what you are going to India? and just a little suspicion that they are going to meditate and their application is rejected, it should be counted as one of the most wonderful things, because meditators have always come to India from all over the world down the ages. It has been the land of the mystics and the Buddhas and the Jinnas. Its only contribution to the world is meditation. But it is not a small contribution. It is the greatest contribution possible. And now the people, the so-called political leaders, who don't know anything about meditation, are ready to give people visas to visit Taj Mahal, Khajuraho, Konark, Ajanta, Ellora, but they are not allowing them. I have received letters from people that because we said we want to learn meditation, our applications were rejected. When all the governments of the world, Indian government included, are trying to prevent, still people are finding ways to come. Something is pulling them. Even if the whole world is against me, it does not matter. The people who can have a little sensibility, sensitiveness towards the higher states of consciousness are bound to come here. This is the power Ta Hui is talking about. I don't have any power in the ordinary sense. But I have a power within myself. I am full of my own awakening. And I am willing to share it with anybody. I don't ask whether you are qualified, who cares about qualifications? I have come to an inexhaustible source. Even if unqualified people can be benefited, there is no harm, because I am not losing anything. Qualified or unqualified, deserving or not deserving, but one thing is certain, They have come far away from all over the world. And all the governments trying to prevent them. But something invisible is calling them. And the call is irresistible. I am not a missionary. I don't convert you. I am a mission if you come close to me, you will be transformed. It will not be a conversion from Hinduism to Mohammedanism, from Mohammedanism to Christianity. That is simply changing the jails. Tahui has said some beautiful sutra this morning. Allow them to sink deep into your being. They will be of immense help on the path.